Manhood, it can feel complicated. There's all this stuff you're just supposed to know. But what if you don't?
I could use a starting point. You know, one thing to improve my workout or complete a do-it-yourself project.
When it comes to the biggest questions in life, it'd be nice to have actual answers from real experts. So we went out and found some.
My name is Cameron.
And I'm Andy. And this is Man Skills. For most people, buying a home will be the biggest purchase you ever make. And if that weren't stressful enough, you have to deal with credit scores, contracts, mortgage lenders, and inspectors. Ready to go back to renting? Not so fast. Today, the principal agent and listing specialist of a successful realty group gives us the one thing you need to know about buying a house. Welcome to the podcast, Peter Zimmer. Peter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going really well. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's great to have you. And we are really eager to dig into this topic. But first, let's hear a little bit more about you. How did you get into realty? What's kind of your story around that? And what kind of experience do you have doing this stuff?
When I was younger, my dad and I used to take groups of boys, groups of people to the Red River Gorge to go rappelling.
Yes.
And I just remember how much fun it was to just, you know, bring some calm and peace to people in an experience where they're intimidated by it. Mm. They're scared to death. They don't know how this thing goes. You know, they're looking over the edge of the cliff and just kind of, you know, bringing some peace to that, walking them through, here's how this goes. And so I found very quickly in real estate, it's kind of a similar deal going on, that there's a ton of information out there. It's intimidating still, and they're walking through it. And I was able to kind of bring a sense of calm and comfort and expertise and kind of help walk people through it, which was a blast. And so, yeah, doing it about 13 years in both Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati. It's been a good ride.
That's good. Well, the question I have for you, Peter, what is the craziest experience you had in a home buying situation, whether it's a complication or a residency problem?
A couple always come to mind. One is there was one house, it was a foreclosure, and it had mold that was so bad that we had to sign a waiver before we went into the house.
Oh, my.
Whoa.
Oh. It was the real deal.
Did you sign the waiver?
Oh, of course. Oh, I'm like, man. I got to see this,
right? Did you get like a respirator or something?
I remember going downstairs and the black covered all the walls.
That is my own
and
personal
I'm like,
nightmare.
All of my dreams are coming true right now. This is amazing.
Gosh.
So did you buy the property?
No. They very quickly were like, yeah, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. No, but the one that always takes the cake is, I was showing a house, got the lockbox, walked in, naked guy.
Just in the middle of the living room?
Just a naked dude.
Oh, man.
So the story was, he had the flu or was recovering. He was sick and did not get the notification that there was a showing.
Oh, man.
So needless to say, I knock really loudly no matter what. Now I open the door saying, hello.
Yeah.
So no more.
Did your customer happen to witness what you witnessed?
Fortunately, I was in front and was very quickly able to kind of like backtrack, like, hey, guys, let's give him a second. or the rest of the day. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good save right there.
We might not
come and see this one. But those are two of the big ones.
Okay.
Lay it on us. What's the one thing you need to know about buying a house?
I love that question because it boils it down. And in my experience, both personally and just observing so many people in this home buying experience, I think it is get good counsel and make a plan. There's a litany of information that's out there right now, but more often I find people intimidated and lost by that amount of information. And so whether it's a great real estate agent, a mortgage lender, an inspector, family, friends, like whoever it is, get good counsel and form a plan. The analogy we use a lot is climbing a mountain. Right. I think a lot of people walk up to that mountain of home ownership and they sort of gaze into the above the clouds and see the top. And they're like, that seems cool.
Yeah.
And they start meandering up the mountain and they're getting lost and they're falling or they're seeing things or it's much harder. They're realizing that than they expected. I like to call me and my team Sherpas. Right. So not only are we just going to point and say this is the way to the top, but we've been to the top hundreds of times and we can help carry your bags. Great. Does that make sense?
That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's really That's awesome.
Let's just, we want to go back to the naked guy. Let's just talk more about the naked guy.
I mean, yeah. But
so Peter, a little bit about me. I've never owned a house before, never bought a house. I'm a single dad, don't have the best credit score. How do I know when I'm ready to buy a house and when's the right time?
Yeah. Oh man, that's great. Wednesdays. You should buy a house on a Wednesday. Yes. That's the right time. House buying Wednesdays. Yeah, I would say don't look at any rent versus buying spreadsheets or charts.
Really?
I hate rent versus buying charts because they always say you should buy something.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly where I'm at right now.
Of course they should, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, without getting into all the particulars of your situation, I think it's back to that plan, right? Like, let's formulate what you're wanting to do over the next 5 or so years. This is not a short-term thing. And see if that might fit both in the objective of what you're trying to accomplish as well as the feasibility of your financing, right? And so one of the roles that we always bring into this discussion is someone who, you know, my whole world is the real estate side. Their whole world is the financing side. So looking at the yes or no question of can I buy a house? Okay, let's look at your finance. Let's look how much down payment, credit score, what do you owe, what do you own? Plug all that into a machine to say, yes, it could work. And now let's start to identify, given how much you might be wanting to put down or what that financial picture is, here's what your monthly payment might be and translate that into a price range.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that ends with the answer no, or it ends with the answer no, not yet. And so then you've got, okay, I know what my plan is. The plan doesn't always have to be buy a house. The plan could be for the next 6 months, I need to repair my credit. For the next 9 months, I need to pile up some money for a down payment. But at least there's confidence in moving forward with a plan. If the answer is yes, then we shift gears to say, okay, here's the home buying process. Here, given your price range and some of your wants and needs, this is the type of home that's available in our market. That sometimes leads to a meh, I don't like anything I'm seeing. And if the current situation that you're in means the longer you wait, the more money you can save, then that plan becomes, okay, I'm just going to keep saving and knowing that in a year from now, my price range will be different. And that means the type of home I can get will be different.
So the plan's not always set in stone. It changes.
No, that's a great point. It rarely is. It rarely is. It's starting with, here's where we're going. Here's the general strategy to get there. And as we move, I mean, you know, they always say it's easier to steer a moving ship, right? And so as we move, these are the obstacles we're going to come across. These are the choices that we'll have to make, and we'll narrow that scope.
All right. So most of us lived through the 2008, like, bubble burst or whatever the heck right. You want to call it. A lot of people lost their homes. I was one of them. Like, my family, actually, we lost our home because of the crazy wow. differences in mortgage payments and stuff. So I don't ever want that to happen. I've always heard the rule of, or the advice on not making that mortgage payment more than 25% of my monthly income.
Yeah.
What do you advise when it comes to financing a home?
I think that's a great rule of thumb. I will be honest. I think I lean towards the conservative side of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I do this every day, and I just see that there are a lot of people who are broke.
Mm.
They are broke, and they're still finding ways or barely finding ways to buy a home. And so they don't look broke, but behind the surface, they're broke. As much as I'm able to, I want to be in the business of freedom.
Yeah.
Right? And so for my life personally, I feel like, number one, I've found spiritual freedom with Christ, right? Like, so he has freed me from the bondage of sin and death. Everything beyond that is peripheral, but one of the next areas that I found a lot of freedom was financially. When I had gotten married, my wife and I, we were about, I think about 40 grand in debt with consumer debt. And we took a deep dive on Dave Ramsey stuff. And in about 2 years had paid all that off. And I just, I experienced in those 2 years what financial freedom feels like. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily mean like financial freedom from the sense I got a bunch of friggin' money.
Yeah.
But just financial freedom of I don't have a lot of bondage.
Yeah.
And so, having experienced those two, I try to approach housing the same way, real estate the same way. And so along the lines of your question, so Dave Ramsey says you want to buy a home where you've got at least 20% down on a 15-year mortgage where mm-hmm. the payment's not more than 25% of your take-home pay. That is super conservative.
Yeah.
And it will guarantee probably two things. One, it's less home than you probably could afford otherwise.
Right.
And you will sleep really well at night. Like you said in the opening, like this is the most expensive thing they're ever going to buy. And if we can start to change our thinking about that and say, well, what if I don't want this thing to be the most expensive thing I ever buy? Then you might approach it a little bit more conservatively. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just education, right? Like the difference between a 30 and a 15. Like most people are like, it's time to buy a house. I get a 30-year mortgage. Why? Yeah. Because. I don't know.
That's the thing you do.
Like what they're told to do.
I think it's in Japan, they do 50-year mortgages. Whoa. And it's just normal. So it's like, don't do normal just because. At least take a second and educate yourself. Okay, well, I get a lower interest rate with a 15-year mortgage. I pay down the principal much more aggressively with a 15-year mortgage. Right. Now, that'll translate to, okay, if I want to stay in this monthly payment on a 15, I might be looking at a $125,000 house instead of a $175,000 house. Right. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be like, do I really want to make that sacrifice? But like I said, that plan is fluid. So as you start to narrow and isolate that plan, look at all the different options.
So I'm one of those stereotypical millennials that's like, oh man, I'll just buy a fixer upper, man. I've seen that on HGTV 100 times. Like
piece of cake.
Aside from Chip and Joanna Gaines, how does that actually play out?
HGTV. Thank you, HGTV, mm-hmm. for your influence on my industry.
Yeah, I really love it.
Really appreciate you. I mean, like reality TV is what, like 20 years old now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like these days most people know that that's not really reality.
I don't
like
know. It's, a lot of people still watch wrestling.
Well, I'll give you that. Whatever sort of entertainment value you're into.
Yeah.
I would hope that most people see that that is entertainment. And it's kind of a larger story being wrapped into a 20-minute segment.
Right.
But it's very doable. I will say, having done a lot of remodeling, every project is more disruptive than you think it will be.
Yeah.
I think that's the safest way to say that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be done in 20 minutes with a big reveal.
Man, that is the truth.
Yeah. It always looks so great on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So to our listeners who I'm thinking about, they've gone through all the steps you've laid out, the planning, the getting counsel. Now they found a house. They got a contract ready to sign. How much weight should they put on, you know, the inspections and the walkthroughs?
That's a great question. Inspections are a big deal, and that's something that we talk about on the front end in terms of what to expect and how to anticipate the findings. It's hard to answer. There's no cookie-cutter answer for inspections because there's no cookie-cutter transaction. So a lot of how we approach the inspection results depend on the climate of when the deal came together. And what I mean by that is, was the house on the market for 6 months and nobody came to see it and the seller was really glad we finally came and wrote an offer?
Oh, okay.
Then from a negotiation standpoint, you've got a little bit more, hey, we found this thing in the inspection. That's a big deal. We might have the ability to go to the seller and make an arrangement. Versus if, you know, this thing hit the market, we got in within 4 hours and our offer was offer number 7 and we're glad they took it. Then after the inspections, you got a little bit less of a leg to stand on when it comes to post-inspection stuff. So the two primary lenses that we look through post-inspection findings are, is this particular finding, does it change the value of the home in your mind? Hmm. Had you known about this prior to making an offer, would it have affected your offer? And secondly, a little less important but still up there, is the seller, if they sell it to somebody else, are they going to have to address this issue with any other buyer?
Like structural stuff or
structural
basement
stuff? Yeah.
You know, black mold in the basement everywhere.
Yeah. And this is where, honestly, it's hard to say, like, well, this example, because it's there's not necessarily like a tried and true, like every time this thing. So there's nothing like inspections that has the ability to inject animosity into a transaction where it otherwise did not exist.
Yeah.
It's really weird to see, like, you see a seller like, how dare you say my light fixture doesn't work, right? And then you've got a buyer who's like, how dare you want me to buy this house without fixing that freaking light fixture?
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. Whereas maybe the offer negotiating contract process was super cool. Everybody's friends. Everybody's happy to be buying and happy to be selling.
Yeah.
And sometimes, man, you do that inspection and they're like,
yeah,
I don't even want to be in the same room with that other party at the closing. I'm like, whoa. That is why I've started to coach my clients, like, don't post on social media when your contract's accepted. Like, I just, you don't, the best practice, don't celebrate till the closing.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Don't celebrate to the, because there's just not a done deal until it's a done deal.
Right.
And I've had, like, I've had deals fall apart, and it's just the emotional roller coaster on both sides.
Yeah. Sheesh.
And it should be, like, I'll talk about that. Like, the home buying process should be emotional. It should be fun. Like, people say, like, you know, it's an investment. Don't approach it emotionally. Like, if you're an investor who's buying a rental, then yes, that's a little bit more true. But there's more to real estate than just wealth building.
Right.
It's a home. So you want to be emotionally excited about it and kind of and just enjoy that journey. Which, again, I'll anchor it back to the one thing. Like, that's why you start with a plan. It's those people stumbling around on the mountain are not enjoying that experience, right? Because they're just they started in the wrong space, or they just started without a plan. Like, get good counsel and start to formulate a plan. It doesn't have to be all buttoned up. Get good counsel and start forming a plan, even if that plan is keep renting for 5 years, or you don't know, your job might transfer you in the next couple of years. You're just not sure. Don't buy a house. Like, that's the plan could be, I'm not going to buy a house till I hear what my job's going to do. It's not necessarily your plan is go buy a house.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Peter, thanks for being with us today. It's been super helpful to hear from you about the one thing about buying a home.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate being here.
Hey, we'd love to continue the conversation with you. You can email us both at podcast@crossroads.net.
Man Skills is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our sweet theme music to our friend, Alex Stevens. Whoop, whoop.